Welcome to ICP with We.
In the name of being derivative, featuring on any song for $50, and finally catching up, this is our ongoing examination of the Insane Clown Posse.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Aaron.
And today we're reviewing the ICP songs we still missed, Volume 2.
Steal. Volume 2.
I don't know what goblin from Europe character you're creating, but it's awesome.
I'm really leaning into the accents now because you told me how much you loved them.
I do love them.
Yeah, so, you know, everybody, welcome. Hello, my name is Aaron. It's been a while since we've done one of these.
It has been a while.
I'm here with my co-host with the Comos, Eric. Eric, how are you?
I'm pretty good. And I'm just going to say right now, we've had some questions and you might be wondering where our review of Bloody Sunday is. Well, we opted not to do a first listen and reaction. Instead, we're going to do a proper review. We're getting our listens in. Give us a week or two. You'll have your review.
Give us a week or two. You'll have your review.
Right. Johnny Cochran taught me that.
Where's his cock in?
Probably just piles of money.
I mean, if I were that rich, I would put my dick in piles of money.
Wouldn't you?
Absolutely. I would Scrooge McDuck dive my penis into a bathtub of coins.
Oh, actually, you know where his dick is? About 6 feet underground.
Ugh. Well, but hey, if you get it hard, it's only 5 feet underground.
Wow. Damn. That's impressive.
Yeah, huge dick from what I hear. Yeah, big old bone. Guys, hello. Welcome to ICP with We. This is a show about ICP.
It is.
And we're deep into the weeds on this one, y'all. If this is your first time listening, first of all, this is a strange one to pick to listen to for the first time. Very obscure bullshit, but welcome. Glad to have you. Eric, how have you been?
It's been a while. Good. Yeah. I've been traveling, started a new job, trying to get my footing there. It has been just a lot going on. So sadly, we missed a couple weeks of the show, just had to put our priorities other places. But from here, of course, every once in a while, we're going to have conflicts and things like that. But we should be back on a pretty normal schedule. We're hoping to get back to weekly. And I would agree with you as well. If this is the first episode you're listening to, you picked an interesting place to come in because this is the final chapter of songs we still missed. This is the last one. And I think that this is a really significant episode for us because as many times as we've said, hey, we've caught up, that's it. We talked about all the ICP albums, or we caught up, we talked about all the compilations and supergroups albums, or we caught up, we talked about all the songs we missed. I think this is kind of it, right? This is the end of that journey. Like, yeah, we'll still be hearing ICP features on Twisted Tracks as we go forward.
Absolutely.
And yes, we're still going to review new ICP albums as they come out, like Bloody Sunday. But by this point, when we are done with this episode, we will have ostensibly listened to and reviewed every ICP song except for the Twisted stuff that we haven't gotten to yet.
That's huge. And yeah. I think we mentioned in the last episode doing just acknowledging the songs we're going to miss. So if there are songs that we've missed, submit them to us still. Email them, Instagram, whatever them to us. And we will list them off and acknowledge that we will miss them.
You know what we'll do is when it comes time to review something ICP focused, we'll toss those tracks in with it. We're going to review Bloody Sunday. Oh, and here's a song that we missed as well.
Oh, and here's a random bullshit Tosh.0 thing again.
Right. Here's a video where ICP really has no musical contribution, but they tried to act out some sort of violent act upon some other musician, you know?
Yeah, here, watch Limp Bizkit do an entire cover song and then see Shaggy at the tail end.
Man, We'll get to it, but I was so bummed. I'm like, he waited till the end of the song. He couldn't have done it like 30 seconds in.
He could have interrupted it. We'll get to that. All right, y'all. As always, accompanying this episode is a YouTube playlist that Eric has so kindly compiled, and it is linked in the description below. So, yes. If you want to listen along, pause the episode and listen to the songs as we review them, you have the availability to in that. So check that out. Eric, there's not really a lot to know about this selection today, but let's talk about it. What do we need to know about the playlist of songs that you have compiled for us?
Sure. This is the 11th playlist of songs that I've compiled. Basically, you know, if you want to go back and listen, you've got 11 ICP albums full of tracks that aren't on proper albums that you can listen to. So that's kind of cool. This one specifically, with the exception of a single song that was submitted after the fact, all of these songs were released between 2015 and really just a couple of weeks ago. But most of these really are from the past 3 and 4 years. These are all very new songs, except for the first probably two that we're going to talk about.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And I will just say this as well. Even though 5 singles were released from Violent J's album Bloody Sunday, one of them being released as the Hella Wicked track and other ones just released as singles on their own, we're excluding them from this review.
True.
Even though they were submitted as songs we missed. But those songs, we will review them when we get to that album, which is going to be in like a week or two. You'll get your review.
Absolutely.
That's it. That's the info about this episode.
That's the info.
That's it.
I love it. I mean, I don't know about you, but are you ready to get into these? There's some that I have a lot of thoughts on. There's some that I have almost no thoughts on.
Same.
As usual when it comes to these playlists.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go and get into it then. The first song is titled It's Time, released in 2002 off of Hatchet History. Artist is ICP. Song is It's Time. Eric, what are your thoughts?
I've got some notes here and a question for you. After we did the first episode of Songs We Still Missed, I got an email from Pino Owino.
Right.
And Pino said, I've been waiting to see if you're going to cover this song, and you didn't. Nobody submitted it. Somehow, he believed that we still missed this song, It's Time. Now, when he said that, I was like, no, I'm 100% positive we've talked about this song before. However, when I went back to look, I could not figure out when or where. I even put it out to the Discord to see if anybody else knew. Mm-hmm. And Mike was like, oh, I submitted that for the original songs we missed. I went back and looked at the emails. I was like, you did not. But I feel like we talked about it at some point. Nobody could pin it down, including me. So we're going to talk about it now, even if we've possibly talked about it in the past. For identifying this song that we still possibly missed, Pino originally demanded $10 million in cash, a Faygo, not Red Pop, a fart in a bag for a friend, a box of condoms for that same friend, and another box of condoms for himself, as well as a complete DVD set of Family Matters. Now, I offered to, if it did turn out to be true, take out a loan for $10,060,000 to make this happen. But Pino graciously said, no, I don't want to put you in debt for that amount of money. And after some bargaining, we settled on buying Pino a Faygo the next time we see him at a gathering or something, whatever. If he's right, though, and we never covered the song, we owe him a Faygo. If he's wrong, he will send us a plaque stating that we're right and he's a misinformed piece of shit. And I told him we would put that plaque right up there on the wall next to the one we got from the Mayans. So
absolutely. Yes. No. And there is a spot waiting for it.
Right. So, Aaron, here is the question. Have you heard this song before this episode?
It sounded familiar. I don't know if it sounded familiar because we had heard songs like this before.
I mean, it definitely sounds like it is of this Wraith-ish era. Yes,
definitely. But I couldn't there wasn't a specific point in the song that I can pin down and say, oh, yes, I distinctly remember that part. I have listened to this song.
Okay, so we're going to assume that we haven't, Even though and maybe this is why I think this, I know this song well. I owned the CD back in the day. So I've heard this song many, many, many times. I'm very familiar with it. And I will say, even with the rock stuff going on, which I actually think works really well here, I think what they did and the type of mix and riff and stuff that they used works well in this track. I think this is a good song. It's got a lot of heart. I love that they talk so much about their early days and mention specific Dallas and Cleveland and some of the other cities where they had early strongholds. They mention venues and locations and things like that, even if they don't mention the Odeon, where I first saw them in Cleveland. But all the other venues that they mention, I'm familiar with, and I thought that was cool. And I think this song came out at a time when there was a lot of love and positivity in the psychopathic camp. This was just a few months before the Wraith Shangri-La dropped, when they were in full-on family era mode with the whole crew going. The album that this is from, this is the only original song. The rest is just a collection of tracks from all of the psychopathic artists, past and present, up to that point in time. And I feel like you can feel the love and appreciation in this song. It feels good to listen to. It feels good to hear. It was an exciting time to be there for this, right? And it's so interesting to me that this song only appears on that one album. I immediately was like, this has to be on one of the compilations or something that we talked about. It has to be on a Forgotten Freshness or some fucking incredible collectible collection or something like that. But it's not. I don't think it's anywhere else. I think this is the only place it shows up, and that might be how and why we missed it. And nobody else thought to submit it, I guess, just assuming we already did. But
right.
Cool song, lots of heart. I think that hook is catchy as hell. It gets stuck in my head. What were your thoughts?
It has that rocky element to it, but I think it works really well in this song.
Yeah.
I think that the beat is not bad at all. I think that their flows are a little bit clunky in the verses. Maybe, you know, they didn't quite know their times where they couldn't quite find it, especially towards the beginning of the song. But you're right. This song has a lot of heart. I love a lot of the references that you hear. There's a big Silva reference when talking about the gathering. It's just, this is a fun song that has a lot of heart. I really like this song.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great.
I think it sounds like live drums and everything in this song. I'm going to assume, due to the time period, this is probably Zug Island, Mike P stuff. But one of the better uses of that partnership, I think.
Hell yeah. Yeah. No, I 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
Definitely a great use of that partnership.
Yeah. Cool song. All right. Let's go on to the second track in our selection. And I'm actually kind of glad that if we were going to add that song into an episode, it comes right before this song, because this is Take Me Home, Juggalo Day 2015 version. This is by ICP. It was a single for Juggalo Day in 2015. What did you think of this?
So we've listened to the other version of this song.
Yeah. Forgotten Freshness Volume 3. That was on Front.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. I knew it was a Forgotten Freshness. I forgot which volume, but okay. Yeah. Volume 3. And I really like this version. I think the music is really cool. I can see this being a great version live, obviously. I think that the flows are great. It works with the music very well. Definitely a great live song. I don't know how re-listenable just sitting alone in my room while I'm doing shit this is, though. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think I like the recorded version. I think it would be cool live as well. But let's say you went to Juggalo Weekend and you walked away with a CD of this. I'd want to listen to it in the car on the way home.
Oh, I would definitely. This is definitely a listening to in the car on the way home. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that this song, actually, that's kind of what its purpose is for. It's for, like, maybe in the live environment, but it's also for in the car with your buddies as you're going away from a Juggalo event.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know? Yeah. I feel like that's kind of what they had in mind when they wrote this song, or I guess when they made this version of this song. It's good. Yeah. I think it's pretty cool. I haven't listened to the original in a very long time. I assume I like it better just because I remember enjoying it pretty well. But this is a cool version. It's cool to hear it. I'm not like shitting on it at all. This is a cool version.
Yeah. And it's a totally new version. I mean, everything about it is re-recorded. It's the music is updated. The vocals are all different. The hook is updated.
I assumed the hook was updated because it sounded not the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, not how I remembered it. But yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that it's perfect, even though it's almost 15. How many years later is it? Yeah. Almost 15 years later. It's perfect that this comes after its time in our playlist, because I think that the two songs have a lot in common. It's sort of a moment to step back and thank your fans, your community, the people that have been with you on the journey. But it was also a moment for them to reflect on where they've been, where they're headed. The difference is, in its time, it still feels like they're climbing, right? They're trying to, you know, they're on their way up. In Take Me Home 2015, they're looking back and going, okay, we got there, but we're looking back and realizing how great the journey was, right? And how much we loved that, the climb, the being hungry and playing these little clubs and having our small community and stuff. And like, you know, we got here, yeah, but we realized how awesome that was. So I think it's really cool. I also think this song came out in an era where there was also a lot of positivity in the psychopathic world. You know, you had a Lotus album that recently released. You had Killjoy Club. True. You had first six box set came out. You had all three Missing Link albums. You had Young Wicked on your roster producing, including the song.
Maybe.
DJ Paul was about to drop an album on psychopathic. Like, the Juggalo March was on the horizon. They had all their plans for 2017, which was their big year around the corner. A lot was happening. Will you even hear Sugar Slam doing the hook and Young Wicked on the hook as well? I think there are parallels.
Like a golden age, of
right,
course.
Right. Another golden age. And I think this is another song that, although we have heard that version before back from 2001, this is a complete reimagining, right? It turns their focus to the career and the fans. And it's not to say that the original version wasn't heartfelt or meaningful, but this one feels, I think it feels a little more genuine in that way. I don't love the original version, but I actually really like this one. Like, I think whether you like them or not, whether you've been on this journey or not, I think it hits hard to hear an artist reflect in this way, and it really works for them looking back on their lives and their career, you know. I think it's cool. Yeah, I really enjoy this, and I didn't expect to. Even though it's got a little bit of a, I think the original felt a little more twangy and country sort of sound. And although this one has a little bit of that, I think a little less so. But yeah,
I'm interested. I need to go back and listen to that original version. It has been so long since I've listened to Forgotten Freshness 3 in general.
Yeah, I think you've got Mike P on this as well. He might have been also producing, but I think when the guitar solo comes in, Violent J shouts out Mike P at the end, maybe as well. Either way, we had Young Wicked and Mike P involved here. So, yeah.
Shit was solid.
Yeah.
Well, let's go into the next track. And this one is just, it's laced with ICP up and down. This is Faith by Limp Bizkit featuring Shaggy 2 Dope. And this was live. Eric, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so This was submitted in the first Songs We Missed contest, and I turned it down. And then it was resubmitted by Shmeev of Juggalo Judgment again. And I said, fine, we'll talk about it. I love that he submitted it as Limp Bizkit featuring Shaggy 2 Dope, because it's not.
Did Shmeev submit it originally as well?
Yes, both times.
Okay.
Yes. This is from a live Limp Bizkit performance in 2018 from some sort of festival that ICP also played. And I don't know. This is stupid. It's Limp Bizkit performs the song Faith. And then as the song is ending, Shaggy with no makeup runs out and does a jump drop kick on Fred Durst. But he definitely pulls the punch, right? And Shaggy explained it as, it was meant to be funny, like a wrestling move on him or something. I don't know. He was hyped up and acting stupid. But the thing is, Fred Durst can't sell it if he doesn't know what's going to happen and doesn't see it coming, because Shaggy jump kicks him in the back. But he connects so minimally that it barely shoves Fred Durst. But security goes hard. Like, swarms. Five guys, yeah, rush in, swarm him, and like drag him off the stage. It was a stupid thing. There was a bunch of fallout from this. It just totally dumb. I don't know. I don't care about it, but we're talking about it now. What did you think?
This was letting the intrusive thoughts win and seeing the fallout of that is what this was. Yes. That's my only note I have.
Yep, that's exactly what it is.
It's, you described it perfectly. Yeah. He barely grazes Fred Durst, who then turns around, by the way, wearing baseball batting gloves.
Right. It's Limp Bizkit.
But
they do their own goofy shit.
He turns around and immediately is like, yeah, fuck this guy. Like,
well, and also security is like all over him, and there's like a fight starting, and Fred Durst is like, yo, it's just one guy. Like, calm down.
Yeah. And then like after he sees the fucking, he's like, dude, it's.
Right. Yeah, he doesn't even know who it is. He has no idea.
No, he didn't even know, because by the time he turned around, security was already swarmed a makeupless Shaggy Tudo.
Right. The best thing about this video is the title of the video is, they refer to Shaggy as ICP guy in the title of the video. It's so stupid.
That's funny.
Okay, let's move on to track 4.
Perfect.
Before we get into tracks 4 and 5, I want to talk real quickly about a specific rapper, crew, and label before we continue on. I'm talking about a rapper named Intrinsic and his label Intrins Inc. Records, as well as his series of UGH or Underground Hustlin' compilation albums. Now, Intrinsic is a juggalo rapper. You know, I think we've talked about what makes music juggalo music or a juggalo rapper. This guy definitely claims it. He leans hard into and wants to be connected to that and calls it out. But he started as a drummer in punk and metal bands and then started rapping as part of a crew called Fall Guy. And shortly after, formed his own label called Intrins Inc. and started releasing his own solo albums. He's also toured with Twisted, apparently, and opened for pretty much every big artist in the scene over the years. He is out of the Southwest somewhere, I think Arizona or New Mexico, maybe, but played all over Texas and, you know, just that Southwest area. You know how it is. Those are the shows you get. And he's also kind of got a whole crew of rappers that seem to be either around him on his label at some point or on the comps. People like Dynasty and Blackfoot 505. And these UGH compilations, I think they're up to almost 80 of them now, which I think are distributed through Magic Ninja now. I think they're distributing the albums for him. The comps are basically pay to play. You can submit a song and they'll be like, great, cool, here's what it costs to put this on the album. The real appeal here is there's some distribution, and they almost always have some notable artist presenting, like emceeing the whole thing, right? You've got Jamie Madrox doing the intro to each song and things like that. So you can go, oh, look, I was on an album with Jamie Madrox.
Jamie Madrox, yeah.
Right. So we've got people from that crew on this song and the next song, just for context. So
perfect.
This song is called Shit Went Crazy. The artist is Demias, I don't know, featuring Shaggy 2 Dope, Dynasty, the Mexican Thuggalo, Blackfoot 505, and Trey Pound. From what I can tell, this is just a single. I don't think it appeared on an album. It's from 2019. What are your thoughts on the song?
So this song, Damius sucks. I'm sorry. Like, I'm not trying to. And Damius, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry. You suck. You're not that good. Your style, I don't like. Here's the deal. It's his delivery style. I don't like his delivery style. It's not something that I vibe with. The beat in this song sucks. I'm not vibing with the beat. That being said, the hook is kind of fucking solid, and the hook has Shaggy on it. And that's kind of what we're focusing on is right. how ICP does in these things.
Yeah.
I think Shaggy went pretty fucking hard in the hook. I think that that Blackfoot 505 on verse 2, and I had to look all this up, by the way, when I after I listened to it the first time. Blackfoot 505 on verse 2 kind of fucking goes hard. But other than that, this song, those are the only two redeeming qualities of this song. I will never listen to this song again.
Shaggy doesn't actually have a verse on this. He just has the chorus.
No, he just has the chorus. Yes.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah. He just has the chorus. And the only good verse is the second verse, which is Blackfoot 505.
I think, in my opinion, this song is okay. It's very B and C rate Juggalo stuff. Like, it's exactly what you expect somebody who...
I would say C and D rate, but yes.
Maybe. Okay. everybody on here, I think, is fairly adept at what they're doing, but it's super derivative. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't mean to say this in an insulting way, but I do think that this, and I think this whole camp is, when you think of kids that are into Juggalo stuff and try to rap, when you think of Juggalo rap, this is exactly what you expect. Your expectations will not be subverted in the least. This is exactly it to be. Is it a good song? It's fine. It's a fine song.
A good way of putting that is this is like you and all of your friends that also listen to ICP then get together and rap to each other at the playground at school. You know what I mean?
Right. And you know what? If I'm being honest,
that's fine with that.
Right. I guess this was on one of the UGH compilations. I think that's where it initially came from. But really, I'm glad to see people out here trying to do their thing. Right. If you are going to take the time and effort to write a verse and rap and do your thing and put it out there, great. I don't think it's anything groundbreaking. I don't think you're going to gain a huge following from this, but you know, you're out here doing your thing. Good for you. And you're on a track with Shaggy. Fuck it.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you get to say you're on a track with Shaggy, and that's cool in its own right. So congrats with that. Fuck yeah. You want to move into more of these people?
Yes.
All right. Let's go on to track 5 in our selection. This is called the Toy Gory Cypher. Mm-hmm. The artist is Blackfoot 505, Bishop Da MC, 6 Trismegistus, the HOF, YDMC, Crypto Man, Demented. Oh, Demented, just spelled stupid.
Trying to do like Twisted there.
Right. Intrinsic, Shaggy 2 Dope, Dynasty, the Mexican Thuggalo, and Jamie Madrox. Yeah. Eric, what do you think about this like 9-minute fucking thing?
I feel like this 9-minute cipher is on some level similar to the UGH things, where I think if people wanted to pay, they probably could jump in it, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know how it all worked. Because there's definitely a disparity in the talent of the people from one MC to the next and the quality of their recording from one MC to the next. They clearly did not record it all together. Everybody sent them in. This is a notable song for being the only track probably since 2015 or 16 to have members of ICP and Twisted on it, sort of. Although I highly doubt either of them knew the other was going to be on there.
There's no way they knew.
No. Also, this started out and I was like, is this the same music that was from the last track or at least really similar to it? It's musically pretty similar.
It is.
I don't think anybody on this track was great. I think everyone has some room to grow as an MC, but I also didn't hear anybody. I heard a few parts here and there that I was like, ooh, that's a little rough. You know, nobody was terrible, but there was people that maybe could polish up a little bit. This 6 Trismegistus person looks like a dude that would have been a vocalist for a deathcore band in like 2008.
Yeah, no, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Also, the HOF or the new HOF, depending on how you see it written, surprised me because I did a double take when I was listening. I'm like, wait a minute, who is this? He bites Cage's delivery style, especially on the more recent albums, but like bites it so hard. It really shocked me. Like, I don't think he's nearly as adept or as good at it as Cage is, but
right.
There is no way he did not spend a ton of time listening to stuff like Depart From Me, because that's exactly the delivery he's doing. Even the change up in his vocal style. I was surprised to hear that. Also, Die Nasty's portion of the video made me laugh because I would be willing to bet money that everybody in that portion of the video is like his kids and family, like, because he's like kidnapping people and throwing them in a car. And like, I'm like, this is definitely his children and stuff in this video. And then the All Azul Ilu promo that's at the end of the video definitely makes me not want to listen to them. They also call Intrinsic Intrisnik.
Oh, that's fucking hilarious. So it's funny that you mentioned that Dynasty thing. I didn't think they were his kids. I thought they were like his brother's kids.
Maybe something like
that. You know what I mean? Like, definitely family, though. Definitely family.
I don't know if this is better or worse than the early Psychopathic Ciphers, to be honest. But interesting thing. Hey, good on Intrinsic for putting these tracks out and putting stuff together. Yeah, I don't know. What'd you think?
I think they're worse than early Psychopathic Ciphers, but I don't think it's because like they are worse themselves, though. I think it's just because the quality and the fact that they clearly were just like a random grouping of people, kind of pay to play type thing,
right? And almost all of them are extremely derivative of the Psychopathic and Magic Ninja style. They are listening to that and going, how do I emulate that? But I don't think they've got the swagger or personality or charisma to play it off the way they do.
Right. Half of Intrinsic's verse was an ad for Magic Ninja and Psychopath.
Right, right.
But so I tried to kind of go through and keep track of who was which verse, but I kind of got lost towards the end there. But Blackfoot 505, I'm still loving. Best part of the last song, had a great opening verse on this cipher.
Yeah, I think that solid.
This, by the way, was it's very similar to the previous one, but this is a good one for a cipher. This was just a nice cipher beat.
Yeah,
and we've talked about that before. You know how a cipher needs to just kind of have a simple driving beat.
Right. But also still be interesting enough to be able to. And they do a smart thing where for different MCs, they'll change the aspects of the beat up a little bit to give it some texture and some variety.
I mean, they changed it almost completely for Intrinsic and it went into like this full metal beat.
Right. Well, I think that's kind of his thing.
Which is kind of his thing. And by the way, I want to point out, I didn't have any background knowledge of what this group was before you just said it on air. And even without that, just by this song alone, I knew, I was like, okay, Intrinsic clearly is the ringmaster, ringleader of these, clearly. You know, this group of people. Like this clearly is his doing. He was the one that reached out to Shaggy and obviously reached out to Jamie and he's the one that puts this together for himself and he gets other people to hop on it as well.
It's pretty obvious. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very obvious, especially in this cipher. I love the fact that Shaggy contributed no video.
Right.
Whatsoever. On the music video, his portion is an animated doll, which I thought was funny. But
same goes for Jamie
Madrox. Motion animated dunk.
It's like pictures of shirts and posters where they're just animating the mouth. Although Jamie doesn't contribute a verse. It's more like he's going, hey, I'm going to be on the next.
Like,
the
look next up. Yeah, sequel. Look out for the next one.
Yeah, toy. I mean, they're technically both on the track, but he doesn't really do a verse. He doesn't.
He just does a look up for the next one. And even it flashes on the screen, like, if you want to be in the next one with Jamie Madrox, contact blah, 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 or whatever.
Right.
obviously that's probably outdated. This was back in 2019, but right. Yeah, no, I don't really disagree with anything that you said about this. I think that they all are doing their thing. None of them are particularly terrible at rapping. They're all decent with their flows. But yeah, I mean, it's some derivative characters.
Yeah, that's the worst thing I'm going to say about it is that it's fairly derivative and doesn't really have its own identity outside of we're doing the Juggalo thing. There are definitely some MCs in here that I think if you took them out of it and listened to it, they might be on some different shit. But I don't know.
I will fully go on and say that Blackfoot 505 probably if you pulled him away from being a part of derivative Juggalo shtick, I think could probably is fucking solid.
Probably, yeah. All right,
and not just him. Like they're all decent.
Some more decent than others for sure.
The only person I hate is Damius. And he wasn't on here.
Okay. All right, let's move on to track 6. I promised it to you in the last episode, and now it's time to deliver on that promise. This is a Supervillains track. This is from the reformed Supervillains. This is a single released in 2019 called Ricochet. What'd you think of this?
Yay, more Supervillains.
Yay.
And guess what?
Oh, I know.
They're still the same shtick.
Yeah, they are.
Mr. Spade, Mr. Club, and Mr. Heartless back at it again, baby.
Sort of.
Yeah, this is just Violent J, Shaggy, and Isham.
Yes.
No, it's Violent J and Lavelle and Isham.
No.
Shaggy doesn't even have a verse. He's just on the hook.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Shaggy's just on the hook. Yeah. Lavelle is in the...
Yeah.
That's right.
Still no.
The flows are solid. I mean, listen, we're listening to some solid MCs, especially after some amateur MCs in the past few tracks, right?
Yeah.
Listening to some pros now.
Yes.
And I love that. I think this song is actually pretty good. Like I kind of like it. It's called Ricochet. It's about, you know, not letting the bullets, ricochet and it's about shooting and
sort of.
It's a classic dumb group track. But there's some good stuff in here. Violent J says, suck her titty nipple flat, which I thought gave me a good laugh. There's this the only part I really don't like and kind of brings me out of this song is that like super weird beat change at the bridge.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
It comes out of nowhere and it doesn't really flow well into the song and mesh into the song. The hook is really fucking solid. Yeah. I think Shaggy does a great job in the hook. And the hook, it comes about like, I think 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Which is probably why I assumed that Shaggy had some, because you hear his voice a lot. The hook comes up. Yeah, the flows are solid. The beat is decent. I like the theme. The hook is fucking cool. This is a pretty good song. I liked it.
I'm trying to figure this out because there is definitely another voice somewhere in there.
No.
I don't see anything credited to Lavelle if you look at Genius. But I feel like Lavelle has a verse in here.
Still no.
I almost want to go back and listen now and try to figure out who I'm hearing.
I just assumed when you said Lavelle, I just assumed. Yeah, absolutely. Because you're right. There is that other distinct voice.
No.
Well, and you
is
mentioned
it not on. It doesn't say on Genius.
Jay calls out Supervillains E and J. And then that line that you said at the top, the Mr. Spade, Mr. Club and Mr. Heartless. I wonder if that's a reference to Lavelle not being on it.
Maybe.
But I'm actually going to go back right now and see if I can figure out what I'm hearing that I assumed was Lavelle in there, because it's possible that Lavelle is not part of this. OK.
Remember I said this 50 stories up.
Okay, so what I was hearing is the beginning of Isham's second verse where he says, I'll leave you headless, you on a dead list. He's just using his voice differently, but when I go back and listen now, I think it's definitely Isham.
Yes.
You're right. That's a very different delivery style.
But I think it's him.
But yeah, I think you're right. And on I looked it up while I was typing in on Genius while you were listening. And that, I mean, that is credited to Esham.
Yeah.
On Genius. So yeah.
Me and Diamond. Perfect. With the club. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. Anyway, with that out of the way, I guess this is post Lavelle.
Yes.
Lavelle is not in this.
Yes.
And maybe that actually makes sense, because I listened to this and I was like, this is probably the best supervillain song since before Furious was a thing. Like when we were hearing the early songs going, oh, this is what supervillains is going to be, because it was mostly Jay and Esham together, right? There wasn't all this other stuff. So maybe Lavelle is the one that fucks up the dynamic. I don't know.
Maybe.
I have no idea. But I actually think this track is pretty hard. I'm not a big fan of the hook. The ricochet. I don't love that part. But I think if they had given the hook another pass, maybe it would be a really great song. But I think one of the best things about this is Esham. He is in rare form on this track. He's so angry and hungry. Like, I was like, where is this coming from?
Esham does great.
Yeah. But I think they all sound good. I'm still confused as to why Shaggy doesn't get verses on these songs. He only gets the hook. I don't know what that dynamic is, but I want to talk about a confusing line from Violent J where he says, if you're not homosexual, then quit being gay. And I was like, bullshit. And then I was like, wait a minute. I don't know if that's offensive. I'm like, if you're homosexual, then it's okay to be gay. But, yeah, so go about your day. That's fine. We're cool with it. But if you're heterosexual, then don't be gay. And I was like, I guess that's pretty reasonable. I think. I don't know. I mean,
the logic is there, right? You're not. If you're gay, be gay.
And if you're not, then don't.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he was trying to be offensive there, but it ended up being, logical?
Rare Violent JW.
I don't know. By accident, maybe?
Rare J Social W. I don't know. Yeah, no, that line, I didn't end up writing anything down about that, and I completely forgot that I was in that song until you brought it up. Yeah, that line made me think every time I listened to it. It made me ponder for a bit.
Yeah. What are you trying to say here? Anyway, I think this song is actually pretty decent. I kind of like it.
Well, there you go. Pretty decent.
Yeah.
We ready to move on to the next track?
Let's.
Okay. This next track is actually a Trey Pound song featuring Shaggy Da Dope. The song is called Damaged, released in 2019 off the album The Return of the Absent-Minded Producer. Eric, what are your thoughts?
Well, listen, I don't think I like this song because it's got a very bluesy country feel to it. And that's not a style I tend to love, especially mixed with rap. But I have to say, I think this is pretty good for what it is. If you like this style, I think this is done well. I like that it's got that moody, sort of sad but hopeful aspect to it, like from the bottom looking up, you know, the only place to go from here is up. And I always like to hear these tracks where Shaggy and Trey Pound team up. Whether I like the song or not, I think it's cool to hear them do stuff together. And this one, you hear Trey shout out his older brother, John Utzler. And so that was kind of like it kind of hits you a little bit. I don't think this song is for me, but it's pretty good. And I think if that's Trey singing on the hook, he's pretty good. He sounds good singing. I think if you like things like Jelly Roll, you'd probably really dig this track. But what did you think about it?
You know, very, very similar. This is not the style for me in the slightest. I'm not a fan of this type of combination of, you're right, bluesy sort of, and then rap.
Yeah.
That being said, they objectively killed it with this style.
Yep.
Totally. Like I can recognize that this is done very, very well, although not for me. I love when Trey Pound and Shaggy team up, and you can really hear in both of their contributions to this song, you can really hear heart.
Yeah, they're feeling invested
like
in
they
this. Yeah.
They are definitely invested. They are not doing this song to do this song to have a song on the album. Like, this song means something to them. And you can hear it in the track.
Yeah.
And so that in and of its own right makes this track super cool to me. Although I'm probably not going to ever listen to this again, it was fucking good. And I will say, I really like the chorus. Even though I'm not a huge fan of this type of style, that chorus, really fucking good.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think if you were somebody that enjoys this style, mixing in some of that country, folksy, bluesy sound with the rap, this might be the track that you pick as the best one on this selection of songs.
Yeah.
Because I think they did objectively good, even if I'm not a big fan of it. So, yeah.
Agreed.
Cool. Let's move on to the eighth song in our selection. This is one that I swear I've heard, but I guess I never listened to because I knew at some point we would get to it. The song is called Walking Home Monday. This one is by Violent J featuring Straight Jacket, Sugar Slam, Tier Diaz, who I want to talk about in a minute, Shaggy 2 Dope, Jump Steady, and Blase Rose. This is just a single. It was released in 2021. I'm going to ask you what you think about it. But first, I was like, looked at this. I'm like, who the hell is Tier Diaz? Apparently, he's a comedian, actor, and rapper, musician. I have no idea how Violent J linked up with him. But if you look at his IMDb, it's hilarious because almost every credit for every movie he's been in lists him and his character and then in parentheses says uncredited. So he claims to be in a lot of movies that he's not in the credits for.
And he's not credited for.
Yeah, not even listed as an extra. I thought that was fucking funny.
That's hilarious.
I'm not doubting that he was part of those productions, but I still think it's awesome.
So I remember actually when this first came out.
Yep.
I remember seeing, because this, I mean, we're well into the point, obviously, where were in the, like, you know, in the zeitgeist.
We're in at this point. In the thick of it.
I remember when this first came out, I remember seeing ICP and Violent J like retweet and repost on Instagram and stuff. Tier Diaz's post about being on it. And I always thought, okay, I wonder who this person is. I will figure that out when we get to it.
Well,
I thought we would get to it way earlier than this. That's why I never checked out this song.
We didn't listen to this song because the idea was I'm going to release five songs.
Yes.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then at the end, release an EP that's got those five songs plus bonus tracks. And we said, okay, cool. We're going to wait until the end and review that whole album. But this is the only one that's ever come out so far and probably will be the only one. Anyway, what'd you think of the song?
Yeah. So this is obviously a story driven song.
Yes.
This is Violent J walking home from work. And he tells it right as it is in the very first introductory line. This is a story of a working man's adventure just getting home. Mm-hmm. Every neighborhood ain't the same out here in the US of A. Hell nah. And this is just his adventure of walking home and running into these various characters that are played by these various people. And I thought it was super interesting. I actually really like this format. I feel like, you know, obviously we talk all the time about how Violent J is great when it comes to storytelling.
Yes.
But I feel like this is like this song more so than a lot of the other storytelling songs that he does. This song is like way on that end of the spectrum.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like this is the storytelling extreme. And I think I really fucking like it. I think that it worked out really well. I think that Violent J and the cast of characters that he got to play all these other, people that he runs into on his walk home. I really think that they put out something interesting here. And it kind of bums me out that we don't have a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at this point. Yeah,
same.
You know,
my speculation was that there would also be the bonus tracks would be the weekend and they would be like totally fun, like chill tracks where you're not trying to walk home through chaos.
Yeah. Or even like the weekend tracks you actually like hang out and you're homies with some of the people that you're like having riffs with over through the week. You know what I mean? You bring those people back. Yeah. There's a chance here, and there was a scenario where we could have had a fantastic story-driven EP And then with the success of that, which I think it would have been a success because, it, like I said, this, if this song was any indication, I think this EP would have been a big success. We could have seen Violent J focus and hone in more on the, okay, let me just stay in the studio and weave these stories and write the, and me and my friends will get in here and we'll make these interesting movies almost, you know, through song and through albums and stuff like that. I think that that there could have been that scenario, and that, that kind of bumps me out that we don't get it, 'cause I really like this track. I even like the beat. I know I haven't really talked much about it outside of the concept, but I think the beat is really, really awesome. I think that Jay's strained delivery that he has in his the later years of his career lends itself well to this type of storytelling. You know, he sounds like he's just an exhausted motherfucker walking home from work, just trying to get home and not deal with bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you especially hear that on the hook. He's got like a, one of the singing parts.
Yeah,
you can hear that sort of more strained voice from the later Jay years in there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think that, I really enjoy this song. There, I don't really have any big negative things to say. I think it was fun. I think it was really good and executed fantastically. What were your thoughts?
Well, first thought was the music started and I was like, this is familiar. Why do I know this? This is another song. This is a Zug Island song. This is The River. And I went back and listened and I'm like, okay, they changed things up, but it's really similar. Like, I'll put the beginning of this song and I'll put the hook of The River right here so you can hear them side by side.
This is a story of a working man's adventure just getting home. Every neighborhood ain't the same out here in the USA.
My mind is blown.
It should be blown.
It shouldn't be the only thing being blown.
Oh, wow.
I don't know.
So I'll say it right here off the top. I don't know if I think this is a great song, but I think it's fun as hell. And it reminds me of like the Wizard of the Hood EP. And yes. I could see that's where this was going to go. And I'm bummed just like you are. I would love to hear the rest of the album because I have questions. I want to know things like, would the additional days be taking a different path home? Or, and I think that's what it was. I think it was going to come with a map that showed the different paths home. Or would it just be a different series of encounters during each journey or both? I'm curious. I'd love to hear it. I think it's fun. But it's less fantasy than Wizard of the Hood and more like some of the early songs where they were just talking about their neighborhood and how rough it was and adding a layer of fantasy to the reality, you know, almost making fun and laughing and making bigger than life some of the aspects of living in a rough urban neighborhood.
Right.
And I think that is something that I always liked about them early on, songs like Out and things like that. Really, I'm thinking their first five-ish releases. You know, I'm talking Carnival of Carnage. I'm talking Beverly Kills, Ringmaster, Terror Wheel, and Riddle Box. I'm thinking those albums really have a lot of this type of focus on them. About that type of stuff. And that's where this takes me back to. And I think that's cool. You know, just walking through his neighborhood, through crazy rough areas, encountering colorful characters. It's a weird track because I didn't think Jay was on good talking and working terms with Sugar Slam and Blase Rose in 2021, especially on the same track. So that's interesting to hear.
That did surprise me a bit. Yeah.
But yeah, I like this. I thought it was neat. I think this is cool. I'm bummed to see that they shifted focus, and I wonder if we'll ever see the rest of it.
It'd be great to see the rest of it. And This song is I feel like a different type of song. Like there's two categories of songs, right? There's a song that you listen to for its musical value in its own right. And then there's this type of song where you have a story and you kind of listen to for the overall story and message. And you listen to be entertained in that. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And because of that, I'm probably never going to say, oh, man, I'm driving down the highway. Let me toss on Walking Home Monday.
But if you're going on a drive and you had the full EP, you might listen to the whole thing. It's almost like listening to a story and music.
Absolutely. If I had the entire Walking Home EP and I was on a drive, I would say, you know what? I've got an hour and a half on this drive. Let's toss Walking Home. Well, let's toss on the Walking Home EP and get a good story. Yeah.
So if the week starts on Monday, I wonder if it ends on a bloody Sunday.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, there you go. You ready to move on to the next track?
Yeah.
This track is called We Do It. The artist is Politicize. Featuring Shaggy 2 Dope. It was a single released in 2021. Eric, what were your thoughts?
Actually, it looks like it was on an album called Riot, which I can't find on Discogs or anything like that. Ooh. But it does look like dude was selling this album and a deluxe edition of the album. So I think that the full album did come out. And I also remember seeing the ad on Faygo Lovers a lot for this album, I believe.
I got you. Okay.
But as far as the song goes, I would say Politicize is not for me. First off, in sort of like some of that UGH camp, I don't think this guy is particularly great at what he does, but more so when you listen to his lyrics, they are equally pedantic and super edgelordy.
Oh, yeah.
I think the hook on this track kind of sucks. It's not a good hook. Politicize definitely says some things that make me believe that he holds some political views that might put him in that sort of right wing conspiracy theory camp. And I don't really want to support that too much. I'm curious why Shaggy would do this track. He's got some funny stuff on here, like when he says that he replaces baby's pacifiers with butt plugs. And I thought that was pretty funny.
I have that one written down. Yeah.
But we're going to talk about a couple of other ones here. I'm getting the impression that Shaggy's rates must be pretty affordable and he rarely says no. Like if somebody says, Shaggy, we want you on a track, he's like $500 and they're like, bet, here you go. Like, no, we should hit him up.
I kind of came to the same conclusion after this song is I don't think Shaggy looks too hard at who he does these features with. And I don't think he's a lot of money.
Yeah. That's my impression.
I totally understand. Politicize, very surface level. If you just listen to this track, very surface level, you think, oh, fuck, Politicize has some dope flows. But if you get into any sort of lyrical content, I mean, the first line, first two lines, slap Kimmy on her ass while she's chilling with Kanye, walk with my dick hard past the ganja. And it's just like, okay, this guy is just trying to be edgelordy for the sake of being edgelordy. Well, and you're right there. He has some political stuff in his verses that make me think he's very conspiracy theory and just not too. Well,
he says something about he doesn't like Biden because he's a pedophile. And then he says something like about making America great and he's going to fuck Melania and Trump can wait, something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't feel great about all that.
Absolutely. No, his first, just that the introduction of his first verse is just barely touched. That's just getting into it.
Honestly, right? He sounds very influenced by early Eminem to me because the stuff he's saying is shit Eminem would have, because it's lot about he's going to give
Cardi B
a fat lip and all this stuff. And a fat dick. It all sounds like stuff Eminem maybe wouldn't have said exactly this, but it sounds like somebody who listened to stuff where Eminem said edgelordy stuff about celebrities and things. And this dude was like, oh, I can do that too. But it doesn't work.
Yeah. No, and there's something about, because you mentioned Shaggy had his line about I replace baby pacifiers with butt plugs. And there's something about, like, you could see that as possibly being edgelordy, right? And there's a distinction, right? The distinction is I'm directly being a menace in this way by replacing baby pacifiers with butt plugs, right? Rather than... like that is a specific menacing act rather than I'm going to name drop all these different celebrities and just rhyme a disgusting thing to their name or something. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's distinct. That's bad edgelord. What Shaggy does for shock value, that kind of stuff, that you can see is good lines and clever lines, fun lines and funny lines. Yeah.
He doesn't clarify, though, is he replacing baby pacifiers with used butt plugs or just here's a butt plug instead? And either way, I'm like, that's too big for a baby to put in their mouth.
yeah, no. And if it's not too big for a baby to put in their mouth, it's sure as shit too small to be putting in my ass.
Yeah, where are people just sticking pacifiers in their buttholes now?
Yeah, where's the vice versa of that? Does somebody go to pull out their prized butt plug and there's a buck-ass baby pacifier there now? See, this lines like this get us talking, baby.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Stop rhyming Cardi B with farting, please. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm not a fan of this particular artist personally. I don't like
I think that we're on the same page with this. Yeah. I agree.
All right, let's move on to track 10, one that we've both heard before. This one's called You're Dead. It's Ouija Mac featuring Violent J from the album Stalewind. This song was released ahead of the album. Both came out in 2022. What are your thoughts?
I did not listen to this song until I listened to the album. But yes, this is not a song that I have missed. This is a song I've listened to many times. I'm a big fan of this beat. I really like Violent J in this song. I think that he offers a fantastic tonal change against Ouija Mac. And I really like the dynamic between the two of them. It's pretty. I know a lot of people are tough on Ouija Mac. I know, you know, some people don't like Ouija Mac. I'm a fan. I like Ouija Mac. I like his sound. I like what he does. You know, he puts out so much music that
it's hard to keep up. Yeah,
it's hard to keep up, and you kind of have to just like catch the ones that you like and say, okay, this is Ouija Mac, this is what I like.
That's exactly,
and just kind of let the other shit fly off, kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Casts a wide net, man. He just absolutely, he's like, I'm gonna put everything out there, hopefully somebody will like one of these songs. And that's how I feel about Ouija, exactly like you. I like Ouija. I think he's fun. I like specific Ouija songs, don't care about the rest.
Yeah. And this song in particular is a Ouija song that I like a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he does great. I think Violent J does great. Fucking solid beat by Devereaux.
Is that Hex in the video with them in the jail cells and stuff?
Oh, you know what? It probably is. I didn't pay too close attention to the video, though. I was mainly just listening.
Oh, okay.
I have watched the video once before, but that was a while back. So what are your thoughts on You're Dead?
You know, I think the song is okay. And if you just listen to it on its own, you'd be like, yeah, that's all right. But after that politicized track, this feels like a fucking masterpiece.
Oh, yeah.
Even the part where Jay says, Hong Kong chop suey, boing, boing, the Duke is Fruit Loop screwy. Your boy Huey Lewis spread the news that my dick splooge was gooey. This song has that verse in it, and it still feels so much more competent and more personality and just better overall than
I like that verse though.
Oh,
I like
awful.
That verse.
That's so
no,
bad.
That verse just shows how crazy he is.
That's true. That's true. He's Fruit Loop Screwy.
Yeah, he's Fruit Loop Screwy, and this is how. Yeah, I love that verse. Fuck yeah. Okay, let's move on then to the next track. Yeah, I think we're both in agreement. That song is a solid song.
Yeah, solid.
And especially a solid song after listening to We Do It.
Yes.
One thing I needed to note on We Do It, by the way, just for a quick backtrack. I also think Shaggy does not pay attention in the slightest to how his likeness is used on album covers.
Correct. He's like, because, I'm not providing a photo. I'm not being in videos, but go ahead and, you know, do paintings or whatever.
Because he is in a lot. This is not the only awful album cover that his, like, he was drawn on
right.
for this. I think it was the Shit Went Crazy. I think it was. He's like horribly airbrushed onto this. It is awful.
Yeah.
It is gross. Yeah. Anyways, okay, let's move on to the next track. This is track number 11 in our selection of songs today. The song is called Louis Vetter, Brother of Eddie. Now, little side note on this. Shaggy, this is a song by Shaggy. It was released in 2022. Shaggy was challenged by Violent J to create a song called Louis Vetter, Brother of Eddie in 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And this is the result.
Yeah, they did a live stream, and I think there was some fan interaction where you could help decide things. But basically, they both tried to give each other, like, stump each other with, here's what you have to make a song about. And you could watch the whole video of them making the songs live. And this was Shaggy's song.
Well, Eric, what are your thoughts on Shaggy's song?
I would say of the two challenge tracks, we're going to talk about the next one. Well, next. I would say that this is the weaker one in every way, musically, conceptually, execution. It was funny and interesting to hear once. You know, I liked watching the video. I liked hearing the song. With that said, I'm still extremely impressed with how they pulled these tracks together in 45 minutes. I watched the streams and was shocked that these two guys are so fucking adept at writing and recording that they can bust out songs that are objectively decent in 45 minutes. And it makes me wonder, if they can do that, how the fuck are any of their albums ever delayed or late?
Right? That's my huge takeaway from this, and obviously the next track, because we're doing Violent J's version next. My huge takeaway is I could not, for the life of me, pull something this competent together in 45 minutes. I couldn't pull something this competent together in 4 hours, I don't think.
It'd be difficult.
Yeah. Now, that being said, this isn't a fantastic song. This isn't a song I'm ever going to listen to again. This is a, okay, that's interesting because of the story. The song isn't funny.
Without the story.
The story of why it happened and why it exists is funny. And so with that being said, like, it's a miracle that they could do something that cohesive in 45 minutes.
Yeah, let's be real. You could not have put this on an album with no other context, and it
would work.
This would suck, right?
Yeah.
But it's impressive.
I would rip into it big time.
Also, Eddie Vedder doesn't have any brothers. He's the only child from his parents who divorced when he was an infant. He even wrote songs about this. His real father died, and he never knew that his stepdad wasn't his real father. However, he does have 3 half-brothers from his mother's second marriage, but I don't know what their names are. So maybe one of them is called Louis?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it.
There you have it. All right, let's move on to the other song that was from these sessions. This is Violent J. It's a song called I Slipped a Disc. I see what he was trying to do there. I slipped a disc, but I don't think it happened. What are your thoughts on this track?
Yeah, the I slipped a disc into the CD player. That was a clever move there. I like that.
Yeah, Jay good job, Jay. Flipped it on him, right? Like, it's supposed to be like, oh, you injured your back, and he was like, nah, fuck that.
He was fuck that. I popped some music in the boombox.
Yeah.
I liked that. Was very clever of Jay. I think that little bait and switch move was great. I have the same exact thoughts as I had on the last track, because it's the same fucking thing. This would suck if it wasn't. If the story behind it didn't exist. But also, I think that Jay kind of also, his was more like repetitive and chanty than Shaggy's was. So maybe. I think his was probably a little easier to compile. Yeah, he was clever with his, but his was a little more repetitive.
See, I think this is the better one personally, because I love the concept of flipping this and it being about slipping a sinister, evil disc of music into your CD player that fucks you up and makes you do like bad things. I love that idea. It's smart. It's fun. I think with some tweaking, you could put this song on an album about, I've got this. It's almost like a Dark Lotus song about a haunted or evil disc that's got evil messaging and makes you do bad stuff.
Oh, I would love this concept fully fleshed out into a song. Absolutely. Right. Yes.
But I want to talk about something else. Jay sounds great on this track. His voice sounds really good. Nothing like the more recent ICP stuff where his voice sounds more strained. But this was only recorded a few months ago. What's the deal with that?
Yeah, that's kind of crazy to think about, because it was easy when I was listening to this. It was easy to forget that this was only recorded last year.
Right. It does not sound like the Jay that's on a lot of modern recordings where his voice has changed. It has that little bit of strain to it, that raspiness. This is not like that, I don't think. It sounds more like, I don't know, earlier, not beginning of their career or anything like that, but stuff from 5-10 years ago, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, this is he sounded in great form.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was crazy. It was surprising to me. And it was easy for me to forget that this was it was 2022 when this was recorded.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's move on then to the next track.
Mm-hmm.
Eric sounds excited. Track number 13 in our selection is a song called Saddle Up and Ride. The artist, The Lucid, featuring Violent J, released last year off the album Saddle Up and Ride.
Last year, but at the very end of last year, really. This was the first single from the album. So for anybody that doesn't know, The Lucid is a supergroup consisting of former members of bands that were big in the 80s and 90s. So you have members of Megadeth and Bang Tango and Fear Factory and Sponge, who contributes Vinnie Dombrowski here. And we heard him as a featured artist on Yum Yum Bedlam. So this is like a, I don't know, like a 90s, 80s, 90s metal band. It doesn't sound like hair metal, but it's very metal-y. I'm not a fan of this at all, but I will say Jay's contribution is decent. And I have no doubt that there are people who probably really like this, but I don't like it. I'm not a fan of it. What did you think? I wish I had more to talk about on this, but I just listened to it and I went, not for me. Jay does fine. Don't like it.
No, you're totally fine. So I think that the music element itself of this song rips. I think that the riffs are pretty hard. I think the drums are solid, very competent drumming.
It better great. Be. I mean, they have serious, like, seasoned veteran musicians.
So oh, yeah. No,
musically, it's solid.
You're absolutely right. Like, musically, it should be solid because there are very, very veteran musicians that make up this entire band. But I don't like the vocals one bit at all. Not a fan. It's not for me. I think that Jay actually kind of killed it with this. I think that his vocals were the best contribution.
Yeah.
By far in this track. But yeah, not for me. This song's not for me.
Fair. Well, let's move on to yet another song from The Lucid featuring Violent J, also from the album Saddle Up and Ride, which actually came out this year, just last month. This song is called Sweet Toof. T-O-O-F. What'd you think of this?
You know what? I don't have a lot of things written down for this because it's just bad. It's awful. This is 100% not for me in any way, shape, or form. I don't think that Violent J redeemed this in any way. The music on this one is bad. The Lucid in all of The Lucid is bad. You know, Vinnie Dombrowski does not sound great, but I'm not a fan of Vinnie Dombrowski's voice in the past, you know, last one as well.
But yeah, on these two songs, I think he was great as a featured artist on Yum Yum Bedlam. I don't like what he's doing here.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
I will absolutely co-sign that statement. What he's doing here is definitely not good at all. There's random unexplained tempo changes and like not even like, I'm talking like in the middle of musical phrases. It seems like the tempo increases and decreases randomly. It's strange. I don't understand it. I don't like this song. I listened to it once. Well, I listened to it a half time this morning. I will say I listened to it 1.5 times. I'm not a fan.
So,
Eric,
one thing you didn't talk about here, and maybe I'm getting the impression that you may not be aware of this. This is a cover. It's a reimagining cover.
I don't think I am aware of that. No.
Okay. This is a cover of the song Epic by Faith No More. And
okay.
I hate this more than I can put into words.
Well, you love Faith No More, so of course you hate this.
Okay, so here's the thing. I've listened to the song, or at least portions of it, about three or four times, and I can't get my head around why they thought this was okay. I do love Faith No More, and I'm a big fan of Mike Patton. And although this is far from my favorite Faith No More song and album, I do not think what they did here does the song any justice. And I think that ICP is particularly big on grabbing onto one-hit wonders and doing a cover of it. And on the surface, you might think that this is a one-hit wonder, but you've got to be careful covering a song by an artist that has actually had a very prolific career and has a super dedicated cult following. Because when I listen to this, it is nails on a chalkboard to me. Here's a little bit of story time for you. I love Faith No More and Mr. Bungle growing up. And although I own and listen to this album, it was the next one, Angel Dust, that hooked me. That album came out when I was 13, and I was immediately fascinated because it was heavy and dark and scary, mixed with these light, airy moments, like just this insane contrast of singing and screaming. And it was the first time I had heard stuff like that. And a lot of other bands that came later that I would say got more popular with those sounds will cite this album as one of their main inspirations. I think for me, Angel Dust is one of the greatest heavy albums of all time to me. I would lay in my bed every night and listen to it on my Walkman. I put a song from it on our top 100 songs list. And
true.
I remember then waiting up until midnight to get my copy of King for a Day when it came out from Record Country. And then Album of the Year came out the week I graduated from high school, and it became like the soundtrack to a huge transitional time in my life. I listened to the album for years through moving to Pittsburgh for college, then to Florida for more college. Mr. Bungle introduced me to the concept of avant-garde music. I was so taken by how structurally unconventional their albums and songs were. And I loved the song Travolta on their first album. So me and my friend decided to start a rap group called Travolta. And for years in the mid to late 90s, we talked about doing it and made designs for t-shirts and stuff, and then even recorded a few songs. I don't know what happened to any of that stuff. It's all gone forever. I remember writing to Mr. Bungle to get the by mail only CD insert images for Disco Volante and gluing them into my CD booklet. I've owned and listened to most of the other Mike Patton projects, like Adult Themes for Voice and Fantomas and Tomahawk and Peeping Tom and on and on, other stuff. I saw Faith No More in Cleveland in 95. I saw Mr. Bungle in Cleveland in 99. As a matter of fact, one of the songs on their Fuckface album, Tricks, started off as a Faith No More cover / reimagining, but we thought better of it and went a different direction.
Yes, we fucking did.
Yes. Darth Scrubs will hear it when he receives his contest prize, because the demo scratch version of that still exists. Now, with all that said, I will admit that it could be my personal connection to the subject matter and affinity for Faith No More, but I think this song fucking sucks. Neither Violent J nor Vinnie Dombrowski are Mike Patton. They shouldn't try to be. Vinnie can do his best impression on the hook, but it's not very good, especially at the end where he tries to bring in the hook from the original song with the "you want it all, but you can't have it." Sucks. Violent J's contribution, I think, would be fine if it was on a different song. I think his rapping is decent here, but it doesn't belong where it is. Also, the cover art for this single looks like AI-generated cover art, and that's fucking weak. Pay an artist to do your shit.
Yeah, I don't like the art for this bullshit.
Anyway,
yeah. Hatred. So
I have hatred for this.
I am familiar vaguely with the original song, just being as popular as it was, right?
Yeah.
I've never been a huge Faith No More guy. I do enjoy Faith No More when I hear them pop on. I hate this song for different reasons than you hate this song. You hate this song so you have a personal affinity to the original. I hate this song because this song sucks.
Yeah.
Which I guess is also why you hate this song, because they did a bad job with the original.
But now, I'm aware that there is at least one person that likes this.
Yes, there is one person
that likes Mike loves this. But
and you know what? He can love it all he wants. Whenever I'm not in the car with him.
But here's the thing about Mike. I think Mike is a very lovable guy. He's got such a fun, good personality. And I think that his questionable taste in music is part of what makes him so lovable and wonderful.
Because he loves everything. He wants it all.
Yeah.
But he can't have it.
Yeah, he can. He can have this one. Fucking, he can have this one.
Yeah, yo, Mike, you can want it all and you can have this.
Yes, you can have it.
Perfect. Are we ready to move on to the next track?
Let's go.
Let's move on to a song called I Leave Town, released this year.
Yeah.
By the artist Fury featuring Shaggy to Dope. What are your thoughts?
You know, I'm not familiar with this artist, Fury, or with the featured artists on here. Now, they might be in some bigger group or something. I probably should have done the research because they are credited as courtesy of a label that I'm not super familiar with. But I actually think this is pretty good, man. This is a decent musical and delivery-wise song. I do think some of what they're doing and saying gives me a little bit of a Cottonmouth Kings vibe, but that is not said in a negative way, but a positive way, in the sense that this feels elevated. This feels professional and competent and personality driven. There's a lot of charisma and personality in the voices. This doesn't feel like kids on the come up trying to be juggalo rappers and being super derivative. It feels pretty good to me. Like, this feels like a legitimate track. It does get silly and gross and crass at times, but that's okay. And I also really like the illustrations on the cover and back, which I looked up and it says it was done by Lustful Tunes, which is, that's a cool thing. That seems neat to me. I looked up some of their other work and it was pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, this is sort of it's not really a breakup song and it's not really a love song. But it's definitely about bouncing out of town when you want to get away from the person that you've been with or whatever.
Sort of.
I think this is pretty fun. What did you think?
Dude, this song, I'm glad that you're saying this, because I thought maybe it was just elevated because of my hatred of the last song. But this song fucking rips.
It's pretty
good. This song is awesome. Yeah, this is a really solid track. And I knew this was going to be a solid track the second I heard, and this was in the first verse, the second I heard, "Pussy on my face glides like soap. I take a look inside like a kaleidoscope."
That's what I'm saying. So it gets nasty, but it kind of works for the song.
But it works for the song. It definitely works for the song. I think that Shaggy on the chorus is fucking awesome. I love his hook on this. The beat is cool. The flows are solid. You're right. This does not seem like people on the come up trying to rip the juggalo shtick. This seems genuine and this seems awesome and fun. I like this song a lot.
Yeah, I did too. I did too. All right, let's move on to the last song in our collection. This is the most recent one. This is only from the last couple weeks here. But Mustard actually brought this to our attention and I said, fuck it, we'll throw it in here. The song is called Stimulating. The artist is Captain Juggalo featuring Violent J, sort of. What did you think of this?
Okay, so do you have any information on this?
Yes.
Any backstory at all?
Remember that MC Cone track where he used clips from a cameo? That's exactly what this is. They did a cameo and chopped it up to make a song.
Okay. And that is exactly what I assumed it was, because this is Violent J cut up, chopped and screwed in the most rudimentary way possible.
Yes.
Shouting out the Juggalo streaming network on Twitch and shouting out Captain Juggalo and stimulating buttholes and whooping and doing all this stuff. Yeah, no, this is strange. My only note I actually officially wrote down was, what is this? Yeah. But okay. I figured there's some sort of stupid story behind it.
It's like the MC Cone track, except Captain Juggalo does not add a verse or hook. MC Cone made a song, whereas this is just kind of like almost like an interlude with Violent J samples of his voice chopped up and put back together.
It's true. Funny. There is no musical addition.
Yeah. Funny to hear once. Yeah.
definitely funny to hear once.
I love that people are doing this, and I love to think about the fact that when ICP started doing cameos, they wouldn't have anticipated that this is what people are going to do. But now that it's happened twice, I get the feeling it's going to happen a lot, and they're going to have to be careful what they do and say.
Yeah. Now, I feel like the first time was like, oh, ha, ha, ha. The second time, it's like, and now it's just going to start snowballing.
Right. It's going to happen a lot.
Yeah. At this point, their cameo is going to start costing more than an actual feature from Shaggy 2 Dope.
And probably.
By the way, he does not give a shit what's going on there.
It'll be on anybody's songs.
So just do that. That's the more cost-saving thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that was an interesting collection of songs, and I am so relieved to be, well, technically, Eric, you and I are not out of the hole yet.
Not yet.
We're still in the hole. We still need to officially review Bloody Sunday. But other than that, we are caught up.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I think we can call that, outside of reviewing Bloody Sunday, we're caught up. We've heard all the songs at this point, outside of features on Twisted albums.
True. So what, Eric, what are your overall thoughts here on this selection of songs we had today?
Man, I've got to say, I think this was a much stronger grouping of songs than volume one of songs we still missed. I mean, I don't know that there are a lot of songs that I think are truly great, and there's very few that I would say are going to become fan favorite future classics, but there's some solid stuff here. I don't know. This episode felt more like listening to a new Forgotten Freshness or something like that. And there was only one track that was not an actual song, and that's fine. But yeah, not everything was great. It's weird to see Shaggy's out here guesting on any track that comes his way, and Jay is only doing shitty metal songs now. Yeah, I don't know. Interesting stuff to listen to. Some super low points, a lot of mid, like, okay, not bad, and a few high points. But what did you think?
Pretty similar. I think that we ended strong with this selection.
Yeah.
This is definitely a stronger feeling selection than Songs We Still Miss Volume 1. You're right. We've got some really solid stuff in here. Even the worst tracks are still decent, okay tracks. And we only have two songs that aren't real songs.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's... outside of that, you're right. This felt kind of like a nice little Forgotten Freshness.
Yeah. Yeah. This is an interesting collection of songs. And if you listen to them regularly in the car or something, some of them would really get stuck in your head.
Absolutely. When it comes to favorite tracks, I struggled a little bit because it would be so easy for me to pick You're Dead because I know the song. I love the song. I'm comfortable with the song. I love it. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I really enjoy Walking Home Monday for what it is.
Yeah.
And then finally, I got to be honest, I Leave Town may have, it surprised me as something that is not from ICP proper or from somebody in the psychopathic camp.
Yeah.
You know, I was very surprised that was definitely the best non-psychopathic artist, like independent, with a feature from ICP song I think we've listened to in this selection and the previous selection.
Maybe.
It's pretty good. I don't know. So I'm kind of stuck between those three as far as my favorite tracks go. What are your thoughts on your favorite track?
You know, I had three sort of in no specific order that I thought were really good. I thought It's Time, Take Me Home 2015, and Ricochet were all good. I would put Leave Town somewhere up there, but I liked all three of those pretty well, and it would be hard for me to pick one, although I will.
Damn, you're right. Ricochet was that's my fourth right there. Like Ricochet. Yeah. You know what? I'm not going to pick the Ouija Mac song.
Okay.
Because I feel like that's going to be unfair to the playlist. I think I'm going to pick Walking Home Monday because for what it is, I think it is a solid, solid story. And I think that it would be interesting in the playlist.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing. Plus, it's something more modern. It's great to put at the end of the playlist. That's cool.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm tempted to put It's Time. However, it feels like a song way out of place, even though I think it might be the best song on this selection of songs to me. Take Me Home 2015 is great, but I don't know if it's something I need to put on the playlist. Ricochet, I think, is pretty hard. I think that might be one that I want to put on there. So for me, I'm between Ricochet and It's Time. What are your thoughts?
Personally, I would choose Ricochet. See, but I love It's Time, though. That's the thing, is that It's Time is really solid.
Put It's Time on.
Okay, we're going to put It's Time. I'm kind of just realizing I don't think Walking Home Monday is on Spotify.
Oh, is it not? Really?
No.
That doesn't
seem
right.
That is so surprising.
Okay, so I typed in Walking Home. It took me to Violent J. Let me go to All. Maybe not.
Yeah, that's strange.
It's interesting that when I typed Walking Home into the search on Spotify, it took me to Violent J, but the song isn't on here.
Yeah, so I type Walking Home Monday on Spotify, and the number one hit is Deck One Delt's episode for Walking Home Monday, but then it also wants you to go to Violent J. But yeah, it's not, the track isn't on there. I'm going to pull a dirty little mulligan, and I'm just going to put Your Dad on there, I guess.
Okay.
Because I really do like that song.
Okay, do it. You're Dead and It's Time.
And with that, the ICP with We official playlist is 144 songs, 10 hours, 31 minutes. And it's only going to slowly keep getting longer.
Oh, we should leave it right there. 10:31, Halloween. That's perfect.
Oh, shit. Well, you better hope that all of Bloody Sunday sucks and we don't want to put a single thing on the fucking...
I don't hope that.
I don't hope that. I hope it's a very good EP.
It's a full album, buddy. It's like 57 tracks. Or a
full album, rather. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited. Perfect. Eric, thank you so much for hanging with me.
Thank you for hanging with me and talking about ICP with we.
Oh, well, and I'm not going to mention Mars Bars with ours because then you'll be forced to put something in there.
Oh. A certain special group of people will hear all about Mars Bars with ours.
Eric, I'm excited for our next episode.
Same.
We're going back to being Twisted with Us, and we're bringing the us back with getting Robbie back in here to review Twisted's 2000 album, Freak Show.
Freak Show. Ooh, yeah. Next episode, Freak Show. The episode after that will be our review of Bloody Sunday. And then after that, we are going to get back on that weekly track and just chop through Twisted's discography.
Absolutely.
By this fall, our goal and rough timeline, and I don't want to make promises here, but by this fall, late summer, early fall, our plan is to be through season 6, which will have gotten us through Twisted's The Psychopathic Years. And we will, by that point, to my knowledge, have gotten all the rest of the ICP features that we haven't talked about yet.
Crazy. Eric, until next time, where can people find us?
I'll tell you.
Where can people talk to us? Where can people say, hey, you still miss this one song, and we can finally acknowledge it next episode as songs that we will miss?
So you can talk to us in a lot of different places in a lot of different ways. On Discord, Instagram, Twitter, email. You can become a patron and support us. You can buy merch to support us as well, and all kinds of other things. And the links to do all of that stuff is on our website, icpwwe.com. That's icpwwe.com. Go there, hit the links, communicate with us, and become part of our crew.
Whoa! Speaking of being part of our crew, Eric mentioned our Patreon. I would like to take the time to thank our dear over the shoulder boulder holders, our patron, Rob, Viron, Corey, Scotty D, Robbie, Austin, Baba Man, Chuck, Andrew, and of course, Pino Owino. I appreciate it. Thank you all for holding our boulders ever so tightly.
Ever so
over the tightly. Shoulder.
Yeah. That's the only way. If you held them like under the arm, that'd be fucked.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I would be in pain if you hold my boulders under your arm.
Yeah. That'd be weird.
Also, no, you get your weird arms. Pit smell on my boulders.
No, I was thinking them like reaching up under our arms to.
Oh, I was thinking of like grabbing our boulders like up under their arm and jamming into the armpit to like really, you know what I mean?
No, you know what? I was talking more like, and actually it wouldn't be a bad way. It would actually be a very adept and great way to hold boulders. Would be like that Janet Jackson Rolling Stone cover. Did you ever see that back in the day from the 90s?
I don't think I have.
No? Oh, it was very famous. Very super famous. I'm going to send you a picture of it. Wow. I haven't seen this in a minute, but okay. It's coming to you through Discord.
Cool. And I'm sending you something through Discord as well.
So there you go. thank you for sending me that 7 of 9 vagina picture. I appreciate it.
It's still on my desktop.
So, yeah.
Yes. Okay. No, this actually is a very effective boulder holding way.
Yeah. I feel like this is the way to hold boulders, actually, even better than over the shoulder, actually, now that I think of it. If you're going to hold boulders.
Yeah. Because I feel like I get good, like over the shoulder holder boulder, like boulder holding, that limits our mobility, right?
Yeah.
This is a better way.
I think this Rolling Stone cover with Janet Jackson really shows the ideal boulder holding technique.
And I really think that the vagina photo of 7 of 9 really shows the ideal space suit for star travel.
I hate it. I hate it so much.
Y'all. Thank you so much for hanging out and listening to the show today. You know where to hit us up until the next episode. But until then, for Eric, I'm Aaron. Big ol' whoop whoop. We'll see you next week.
Whoop whoop.
In the name of being derivative, featuring on any song for $50, and finally catching up, this is our ongoing examination of the Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah, I feel like there's a joke to be made with $50 and the song $50.
Oh, shit. Maybe $85 an hour is the rate in which Shaggy charges for a feature.
That's true. And we know he can bust out a whole song in 45 minutes.
In 45 minutes. Yeah. And you can get credit back at that point. So that's like what? $70, $68, $70.
Something like that. Yeah. I mean, $50 says you'll guest on my song.
Perfect.